Hello again, brothers and sisters. I thank you and welcome you for joining in on purpose to study our God's Word together today. Going back into our study of sanctification, which is the fourth letter S in the ABCs of Christian growth. And today will be our sixth study in this particular study that we're doing on sanctification. Sanctification and what the Bible has to say about sanctification. Our last study, just to recap just a little bit, we talked about how sanctification is produced, how it's produced. We found that the Bible teaches that it's produced by God, it's produced by Jesus Christ, and it's produced by God the Holy Ghost. And that's not all. It's also produced by the truth. And we know that when we study our Bibles, that the Bible teaches us that the truth is God's Word. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy words are truth. The very God of truth himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when he spoke of the truth, he referred us to the written Word. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is not only one that sanctifies us, but God the Holy Ghost is, that dwells in us since our new birth, and the Word of God. Sanctification is produced by the truth. All right? And that's not all. Sanctification is produced through Christ's blood. If it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ having shed blood on our account and applied that to our account when we were saved and we were born again, it wouldn't be possible for us to be cleaned up. It wouldn't be possible for us to be sanctified before God himself and sanctified spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. And I remind you, that's what we're talking about when we talk about sanctification. There's one other sanctification is produced by prayer. We've seen that also. And it is. It is. We ask God for help. We pray to him. And the Bible says that for every creature is good of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And prayer. So prayer is very meaningful. It is. I don't know how anybody can say. I mean, we don't doubt one another when we talk to each other. I mean, we're not looking at one another face to face right now, but we're communicating with each other. And you believe that, don't you? Do you believe that we're communicating right now? Of course you do. It'd be a crazy thing to say any different, wouldn't it? Well, what makes you think that it's just not that genuine and real and authentic when you're talking to God in prayer? Well, you should think it is, because it is. When you speak to the Lord, he hears you. He hears you. And when you talk to him, especially about sanctification and about things that you want sanctified and cleaned up and you need help about, he especially listens to that, because it's God's will for you to be sanctified wholly, both in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. And speaking of the body, that's the part that we're working on right now, isn't it? The Lord has sanctified us. He has sanctified our soul, sanctified our spirit. We are both saved and on our way to heaven. But this body has not been sanctified yet. And that's where the sanctification of man falls in. The Lord has done his part in the past to sanctify us. He is doing his part, more than his part, of course. He is actively working to sanctify us presently. And he will work in the future to finish this matter of sanctification, making us like our Lord Jesus Christ, both in body and mind and spirit. And we'll be glad of that, won't we? So moving into today's study, let's talk about why sanctification or godliness is important. Remember when we began, we discussed that about sanctification, and that whenever we speak the word sanctification, the Bible actually uses the word sanctification, but when it does, it uses other words to describe itself. And we see the truth come about in the scriptures through other words and descriptions that the Bible uses. Other words, for instance, the one we're going to talk about today, godliness. Another one is holiness. Another one is separation and set apart and these sorts of things. And we're going to talk about these. And we're going to make a complete whole 360 about this matter in the scriptures to see what the Lord's talking about when he's talking about why sanctification is important. In other words, godliness. Why is it important to be godly? Why is it important to be godly? Well, first of all, you're saved and you're a child of God and you're on your way to heaven. What other way? I mean, that's your reasonable service, the Bible says. Jesus said when you're a good servant and you've done, and I'm, of course, I'm, I don't know what the word is. I'm not saying it exactly like the scripture says. I'm putting in my own word. But when Jesus said and described, and he said, look, he said, when you've served God to the best of your ability and you've done the very best that you can, here's what you say. We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. Which is our duty to do. Now, Jesus wasn't being rude or unkind when he said that. He was putting things in perspective. He's talking about God the Father. You're talking about the God of creation from everlasting to everlasting, a holy and righteous God. I mean, we can't get that cleared up in our own minds what being godly and holy is, because we've never been that with exception of what God the Holy Ghost, and when he moved in and regenerated us and made us like the Lord Jesus Christ in our soul and in our spirit, we didn't have any idea what holiness or godliness is. And we still haven't got it down to where, yeah, I can explain it. No, we can't explain it. We have no idea what it means to be absolutely pure. And sometimes when I sit down and I concentrate on that thing about being holy and about being like the Lord Jesus Christ and being, I mean, just on the part, let's just take the part of we're going to have minds like Christ. The Bible says we're going to have minds like Christ. We're going to think like him. Now, Christ never has crossed the line and sinned with his mind and his thinking, ever. Never did. Even when he was bawling out all those religious folks and he was telling them that they were whited sepulchers, all that was righteous, holy, genuine holiness of God talk. Yeah. Some of y'all need to learn what real conversation is about when you're talking about God. God don't mind telling you how things are. And he don't mind telling you, I mean, there's some places in Scripture where he says he will rub dung in your face. Now, is that holy? Is that righteous altogether? You better believe it is if it's coming from God. It sure is. Now, you get things in perspective. But talking about godliness. Talking about godliness. Why is godliness important? What's part of your sanctification? And it's very important because it involves practical sanctification, which means simply that you have to practice it. If you want to be godly, you're going to have to practice sanctification, carrying around that body that you're carrying around, because you still have a battle going on. Period. If you let that body go, you're going to have some trouble. You know that. I know that. And anybody who's got a brain in their head knows it. And anybody who's telling the truth knows it. And there's a lot of Christians in this world that are walking around and misbehaving with that body and doing a lot of unclean things with it. And they're going to get it for it. God's not going to let them get away with it. Nobody gets away with nothing. You either get it here, or you get it there, or you lose it there, one or the other. But why sanctification is important? We're talking about Christians that are sincere, Bible believers that are sincere. For instance, you wouldn't be here if you wasn't sincere about serving God and wanting to find out what God says about things and about sanctification. I mean, who wants to hear how to clean yourself up if you ain't got no desire to do it? I don't want to hear nobody tell me how to clean my lusts up and clean this up and clean that up, and that it's God's will for me to walk around and be godly and to think godly and to behave godly and to talk godly and to walk godly and to appear godly and to abstain from unclean things. You know, all this. If I wasn't interested in it and I didn't desire it, then I wouldn't be here, nor would you. So when we're talking about godliness, we're not talking about this theatrical religious show that goes on in the world today. And I'm not saying all Christians that way. I know better than to say that, because that's not true. But in this Laodicean age, in this apostate age that we're living in, Christians are headed that way. And the devil's doing all he can to help it. Just don't let that be you. If you're sincere with the Lord and your walk is right with the Lord and you mean business and you're not putting on a show, you're actually living for your Lord because you love Him, not to impress Him, even though we do want to do the things that are pleasing in His sight. We do want to do the things that... I want God to smile at my behavior and smile at me. I want that. Don't you? Of course you do. But we're not doing it to impress the Lord. Hey, look at me. I'm somebody. Because we know better than that. But sanctification to a sincere Christian is very important to him. He wants to be godly. It's important. Why is sanctification important? Well, we have a few things that we can look at here. The first thing is because it's profitable. It's profitable. The Bible tells us that if we will work and sanctify and suffer through the things, the Bible says after you have suffered a while, the Lord establish, strengthen, and settle you. But that takes some sanctifying. It takes some learning how to be godly. You say, well, I thought I was already godly because I'm going to heaven. No, you already saved. Your soul is godly. Your soul is holy. Your soul is righteous. Jesus has made it that way. Your spirit is. But your body's a wreck. Your body will deceive you. It'll send you off in left field in just an instant, brother and sister, if you ain't got a hold of it and you ain't keeping it in check. As far as your practical sanctification goes and keeping that body in shape, keeping your heart in shape, keeping your thinking in shape and things like that, that can be affected by sin and lust and deceit and all those things, it's kind of like taking a great big strong dog on a walk down the street that is always keeping that leash real tight on you, always trying to pull you, and you're always having to hold him back because he wants to go over here in the left and go over in that yard, go down in the ditch on the right, go over here, and you're always having to hold him back, but he's always got tension on you. That's kind of like it is. Your heart's always trying to pull you this way, pull you that way. Your mind and all this temptation that's in the world and all this garbage that's in the world that tries to lead you this, just like that big dog, big strong, trying to pull you that way. So whatever you're going to do, you're going to have to do it on purpose. And you're going to have to do it with God's help. And you're going to have to do it with Jesus Christ's help. You're going to have to do it with the Holy Ghost's help. And you're going to have to do it with the Word of God's help. But God's given us all of it to do it with. And all you have to do is just be there and show up and be willing. The Lord said, if there first be a willing mind, and you are willing, you're here, ain't you? Amen. All right, because it's profitable. It's profitable to be godly, brothers and sisters. I'm not talking to the hypocrites. I'm talking to sincere Christians that want to be godly. As best as you know how, not to impress nobody, but to be godly so when God looks at you, he can smile because he's got a child that genuinely loves him and genuinely cares about his ways and wants to be like him. 1 Timothy chapter 4, let me read that to you. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 through 11 says, "But refuse." Now just get used to the Bible and accept it for what it says. When the Bible tells you to refuse something, you don't have to get anybody's permission to refuse it. You don't need nobody's approval, nobody's nod of their head, nobody's say-so, nobody's education. You don't need nothing. All you need to do is mind the Lord. Believe the book and mind the Lord. That's all you have to do. And when the Bible tells you that it's okay for you to refuse something, refuse it. If the Lord tells you to reject that, reject something, reject it. If he tells you to put it away, put it away. If he tells you to get away from it, get away from it. You don't need nobody's permission to do nothing God tells you to do or asks you to do. The Bible says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. But bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable in all things." You get that? Our Bible teaches us that sanctification, in other words, being godly and learning how to be godly and lining our lives up and our flesh up and everything else, our discipline, our heart attitude, our mind, our thinking, lining all this stuff up and sanctifying it with to be godly is profitable unto all things. The Bible says there won't be nothing but profit come out of it. You exercise yourself to be godly and you will profit, the Bible says, because it's profitable. Sanctification or godliness is important. Why is it important? Because it's profitable. Don't you want to profit? I ain't talking about money. I ain't talking about, even though godliness does bring monetary things. I mean, God does have things come your way because you are godly. And he takes care of you, doesn't he? He takes very good care of us. Very good care of us. "But refuse profane and old wise fables and exercise thyself unto godliness." Did you get that exercise part of it? You practice it. You exercise it. You exercise your godliness to make it stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. No matter who thinks what about it. You got Christians that are going to point fingers at you and call you names and blobbity, blobbity, blob, and look down their big, long, stinking snoot at you because they're ashamed whenever you are exercising godliness and you're doing it sincerely because they don't want to do it. And it makes them ashamed, and they should be ashamed because God instructs them the same thing he instructs you, but they're being disobedient. "But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." Godliness is not only profitable in this life, but it has profit in the life to come. "For bodily exercise profiteth a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." You can trust it. God says it's profitable. If you want to be godly, you're going to profit. If you mean it and you're genuine and you're willing to exercise at it and you're willing to discipline yourself, you're willing to mind the Lord and suffer and do without of this world's goods and all of its filthiness, you're going to profit. He says it's worthy, it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. You can trust it. You can accept it. For therefore we both labor. Now listen to what it takes to do this. For therefore what? Therefore trying to be godly, trying to exercise it like God tells us to. For therefore we both labor. You got to work at it. Labor and suffer reproach. You see what's going to come about because of you trying to be godly? And some of you already know what I'm talking about. If you've been a Christian any amount of time and you mean business with the Lord and you're genuine with the Lord and you're trying to be godly, you're not trying to show off or be some kind of mannequin in the window. You're just trying to be pleasing to the Lord. You're going to suffer reproach. And you're going to have to labor at it. Because we trust in the living God. Listen to this. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Now listen to his last statement about this sanctification being important, godliness. Listen to what he says. These things command and teach. There you go. You have permission to be godly. And you have permission to labor at it and to suffer reproach because of it. And it will profit you, and it's trustworthy and worthy of all acceptation. You can trust God's word about it. It's profitable. Why sanctification or godliness is important? Because it's profitable. What else? Well, because it is Bible doctrine. It's what the Bible teaches as truth about what is and what is not. That's doctrine. Doctrine is what teaches you what is and what is not and what the difference is. Because it is Bible doctrine, and it can be perverted. You say godliness can be perverted? You don't know that? Yes, godliness can be perverted. Have you seen the things that they call godly in the world today? Does it line up with the book? Does it line up with Bible doctrine? The things that people call godliness today? I don't think so. That's why you suffer reproach, and that's why you have to labor at it, and that's why you have to trust the Lord and accept what the Lord says and what the Bible says about it, is because there's so much stinking theatrical godliness in the world today. It says it's an abomination to God, and it makes him want to vomit because they use his name and say that it's of him. And it's not of him. It's filthy. It's filthy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, listen to this, and chapter 6 and verse 3 through 6. It says, if any man teach otherwise than what? Bible doctrine about what godliness is. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Listen to what the Bible commands you and gives you permission about this particular kind of person. From such, withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. All your prosperity preachers, all your prosperity gospel, all your prosperity godliness that's out there nowadays, it's fake and it's a lie. And it's not Bible doctrine. It is people proud, the Bible says, knowing nothing about what God's Word says about being godly. It says, but they dote about questions and strifes, always asking questions. Well, what about this? What about this? Well, the Greek says, well, the Hebrew says, well, the original says, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy and strife and railings and evil surmisings and perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. That's not godly. That's corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. And this is how you can identify them. Supposing that gain is godliness. Now, the Bible does say, we just got through saying that the Bible says that godliness is profitable in all things. But this is not the kind of gain that he's talking about. We know what kind of gain this is talking about, of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, perverse disputings of men and of corrupt minds. We know what kind of gain they're talking about. It's not gain of being good and kind and holy and polite and disciplined and clean and righteous and God-fearing. It's not that kind. Supposing that gain is godliness. Now, why would God tell us to be godly and then turn around saying that these type of people say that gain is godliness and then turn around and tell us, such from such, withdraw thyself? Why? Because it's not true godliness. It's fake godliness. It's fake godliness. It says, but godliness, if you want to talk about supposing that gain is godliness, here's what God says gain is all about. But godliness with contentment is great gain. He just slammed the door on that one, didn't he? But godliness with contentment, what's contentment? Being happy with what you got. You don't need anything else. Lord, I don't need nothing. I have all sufficiency in all things. You provide for me wonderfully, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Whole different set of polarities there. One says gain is godliness. And the Lord says godliness with contentment is great gain. Two whole different polarities of godliness. One of them's real and one of them's fake. One of them's real and one of them's fake. Because it is Bible doctrine. What are we talking about? Sanctification, godliness, and why it's important. It's important for you to know what godliness is and Bible doctrine concerning what godliness is. And we get it from the Lord Jesus Christ, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it said. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, then he is proud, and so on and so forth, all the way down, supposing that gain is godliness. Said from such, turn away. They'll corrupt you. They'll mess up and pervert your thinking. And your way of life. And your godliness. Some of you probably already know what I'm talking about. You might have even have escaped that sort of nonsense. Good for you. Stay out of it. There ain't nothing in this world worth giving up your relationship to the Lord and your godliness and your walk before the Lord. There ain't nothing in this world that's worth anything for that. Godliness, true, unperverted, Bible doctrine godliness is profitable in all. It's profitable. Profitable for the right things. What else? Why sanctification and godliness is important? Because it's profitable. Because it is Bible doctrine and can be perverted. And what else? Because it must be pursued. You're not going to get it for free. You're not going to train your flesh and train your body to do right unless you do it on purpose. You have to pursue, follow after it. It's not going to come natural. You ain't automatically, when you get saved, godly. Christians can do just about anything an unsaved, wicked, devilish, God-denying, rejecting person in this world, perverted, nasty. Christians can do any bit of that, any bit of it. And if you let that flesh go and you forget God and put your Bible away, it won't be long. You won't be touching the doorsteps of that mess. Because it must be pursued. 1 Timothy chapter 6, listen to this, and verse 10 through 12. It says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." And that seems to be probably that and sex and education are the gods of America now. And knowledge, you know, the science and all that sort of business. For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. Do you get that? When you covet money, you're following after the root of all evil, and you're making yourself vulnerable to a whole bunch of different avenues of evil. And it makes you err from the faith. And pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Well, that's not profit. That's not profit. So, supposing gain is godliness and this love of money is the root of all evil, that's not profit. This prosperity gospel, God, if you give, God will make you rich. That's the biggest, fattest, stupidest lie, and all the suckers that fall into that one. Do you think you standing up there giving your money in front of everybody and bragging about it and letting some sucker talk you into giving up your money and stuff like that, that guy has the power to make God be impressed with you, to reward you? You really believe that? For the love of money is the root of all evil. For while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You see how that themselves is in there? You do it to yourself. So if you're going to be godly and you're going to do it by what Bible doctrine teaches and it not be perverted, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to do it yourself. You're going to have to do it with God the Holy. Of course, when I say yourself, I'm talking about with God's help. But what I mean is your effort, your will. I choose this. I'm going to be this way. My will is a free agent, and God has given me my will to make choices freely for or against anything. And I choose this. That's what we're talking about. Pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, listen to this, but thou, O man of God, here's another instruction for you. You get to do this by permission. Flee these things. Get away from them. Run from them. You hear this mess? It's a lie. The love of money is the root of all evil. And while some covet it after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after, here we go, this is what you follow, righteousness. What is righteousness? Just doing right. Doing the right thing. Righteousness. Godliness. Being like God, faith, love, patience, and meekness. You see that? You want to be godly? God says, God says, flee this and follow this. That's something that has to be pursued. Because the love of money is the root of all evil. And it causes covetousness, and it causes you to err from the faith, and it pierces you through with many sorrows if you let that happen. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight. You getting that? Listen to that word. Fight. 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 Fight the good. You mean there's such thing as a good fight? Yes. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You're saved, you're in the family of God, you've started a good profession. You've professed a good profession before many witnesses. I'm saved. I'm a child of God. I am a man of God. I'm a woman of God. I'm going to fight the fight of faith. I'm going to lay hold on eternal life. I'm going to follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness after what the Bible doctrine teaches me, after what Bible doctrine and the Lord Jesus Christ's words teach me. I'm not going to follow after the gain is godliness and the love of money and covet after things and pierce myself through with sorrows and pervert my walk and my faith. I'm going to pursue this thing. Because it must be pursued. Why sanctification or godliness is important? Because it's profitable. Because it is Bible doctrine and can be perverted. Be careful what you listen to and who you listen to. It's okay for you to flee them and to get away from them and flee these things, the Bible says. And to withdraw thyself. The Bible gives you permission to do that. You don't need nobody's permission to withdraw yourself from something that you see that is contrary to God's word and Bible doctrine and to the truth and the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need anybody's favor or permission to withdraw yourself from anything. All you need is to pursue it. What else? Well, what else, why sanctification is important? Why godliness is important? Well, because it is a believer's duty. It is your duty. You're saved. You're in the family of God. You're part of the beloved. You're accepted in the beloved. You're part of a special family that the world cannot know and does not know. They don't know about spiritual things. They don't understand the world of spirituality. They don't know about God's word. They don't understand it. They think the things of God are foolishness. And they think you're a fool for being part of it. But listen, you know, we didn't know that we were going to be part of it until we believed on Jesus Christ, right? I mean, you didn't understand nothing until the Lord quickened you and woke you up spiritually. And saved you and saved your soul. And now you understand a lot of things, don't you? You can recognize the spiritual things. Our spirit bears witness with one another that we are the sons of God. Right? Yes. Because it's your duty, brothers and sisters. It's your duty. Are you going to live the rest of your life in that body and just let everything go flippantly and not do anything on purpose for the Lord? Not even keep yourself? and discipline yourself? The Lord said it's appointed unto us to suffer for Christ's sake. You have an appointment with suffering if you're going to live for the Lord. Now, I don't like that no more than you do, but that's the way the Lord set it up. But you're going to be rewarded for it, and you're going to be suffering for the right reasons. And the Bible says when you suffer for the right reasons rather than the wrong reasons, that's pleasing to your Lord. The Lord's pleased with that. Look it up. That's what it says. Or either stay in these studies and you'll go over it. Suffering for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Suffering for the word of God and for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is a believer's duty. Let's look at some scripture. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 through 15. The Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Teaching us that, denying ungodliness," not only putting on godliness, but putting off ungodliness, "denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Does it get any plainer than that? It is a believer's duty. And the Lord didn't even have to say that. We already know that. From what He's already done for us and given us, if He just gave us eternal life and kept us out of hell, we owe Him for that, don't we? And we should respect Him and be devoted to Him for that. And if you're not devoted to Him and you're not giving Him any reverence or respect, shame on you for what He's done for you. But I know better about that from you, because you wouldn't be doing this if you didn't care about the Lord. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Doing what? "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things," listen to this, here's your permission again, "these things speak and exhort and rebuke." You have permission to rebuke somebody. "Rebuke with all authority." You ain't got to ask nobody's permission. Nobody's permission. You can speak these things. What things? That the grace of that it's our duty. That God's grace and salvation to us has appeared to us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this world. Do you know what the Lord says we have permission to do? To speak this, to exhort it, and to encourage people, exhort them to live this way, and rebuke them with all authority. "Let no man despise thee." Because it's your duty. You don't hear that across no pulpits nowadays. I haven't. They'd go in and walk out confused because of all the buttering and the slime that's being passed around, all the honey and butter's being thrown around. And I ain't against honey and butter. There's just too much stinking, too much of the wrong love being put out today. They don't know what they're talking about when they say love. The love of Christ. What I just read you is the love of Christ. And if a preacher told you that you better straighten your hind end up and you better walk right and live soberly and righteous and godly in this present world and respect the Lord for what He's done for you, and knowing that the Lord's coming and he's purifying you and you're a peculiar people and zealous of good works, and that you ought to be speaking and exhorting and rebuking with all authority, you wouldn't have nothing but respect. You'd know He'd be telling you the truth, wouldn't you? I would too. That's Christ's love. That's Christ's love. Not this stinking nonsense, evil surmisings and perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, supposing gain is godliness and... just eating the world up and all its wickedness. This world ain't got nothing to offer you but sorrow and confusion, and to take the Word of God away from you and make you the most miserable person on this planet. You might have to suffer for the Lord, and you might have to give up some things for the Lord, but so stinking what? What are you going to give up for the Lord that's not going to be worth it? Amen. Listen to what Luke says. Luke 17:10. So likewise ye. This is what we was talking about a while ago. So likewise ye. When ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. That's the attitude to have. When you get that kind of attitude and you get that kind of heart condition going in you, then you're thinking about your relationship between you and the Lord in an actual way, in a realistic way, in a genuine way, because of what the Lord's done for you. I like my heart when I love the Lord and I appreciate Him, and I like being indebted to the Lord. That's cuss words under some Christian realm in Christendom today. Being indebted to the Lord? Yeah. Being indebted to the Lord. We are unprofitable servants. We have done that, which is our duty to do. What do you mean, something special, or what is God going to give you out of it? Man, this is our duty. Do you know what He's done for me? Yeah. That's the kind of garbage in Christianity today. Don't get mixed up in that mess. Withdraw thyself. That's what the Lord says. Withdraw thyself. Get out of it. Get out of it. Walk, fight the good fight of faith. Walk in truth and the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, let's recap just a little bit. Why sanctification or godliness is important? We're talking about sanctification. We have talked about the sanctification of the Lord. We understand what that is and why that's very important. We have talked about, began talking about the sanctification of man. And today, we are talking about the sanctification, why sanctification is important to a man and a woman that are serving God, that are in His family. Well, because it's profitable, because it is Bible doctrine, and it can be perverted. Watch out for that, because it must be pursued. It's not going to come when you get up in the morning. It's not going to come over there and jump on you and say, "Oh, I'm righteousness and holiness and purity and godliness and all this, and here I am, and I'm here to be with you." You got to pursue it, because that body you're wearing is against you. Right now it is. And if you don't keep it under control and keep it tied down and keep that dog held back and on a tight leash, it'll take you way out in left field or way out in right field and drag you through some of the nastiest mud that you've ever been in your life. Because it is pursued, and because it is a believer's duty. It is a believer's duty. Amen? All right. Well, that's good stuff, isn't it? That's good stuff. Why sanctification or godliness is important. We're going to stop right there. I'm going to give you these verses, and we're going to talk on our next one. We're going to talk about the sanctification or the holiness of Christians, the holiness of Christians, and go over some things having to do with that. Okay? Having to do with our study of sanctification. That's good stuff. Sanctification, important matter in the Bible. Can you see that? Yeah. And that's only part of your salvation. Wow. Okay. Well, why sanctification or godliness is important? Here are your scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 through 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 through 12. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 15. Luke chapter 17 and verse 10. And those are the scriptures that we went over today in our study of sanctification and why it's important, godliness. Amen? Well, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'm going to say goodbye to you right now, and thank you again for studying God's Word. I love you with Christ's love, and I respect you for doing the right thing and for disciplining yourself to study God's Word. Let's keep on doing that and do the things that are pleasing in our Lord's sight, because it's the least that we can do. It's our duty to do it, right? Amen. All right. Well, the Lord bless you. It's Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I'll talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.